In this episode of, whoa, you can't even understand me. I'm slurring with my beard. In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss curses, memories, and horcruxes in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince by J.K. Rowling.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about our favorite young adult books, series, and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Amber.
And I hardly think I need any introduction. I am Albus Percival Ulfric Brian Dumbledore, aka Amanda. This beard.
Oh my god. You guys, gosh. This is an amazing costume, guys. Amanda outdid herself again. Oh my god. We'll talk about it. Sorry. I was supposed to say, and today we're going to be discussing Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince by J.K. Rowling.
But what were you going to say?
I was going to tell you stuff about my week.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear about that yet. I thought you were going to talk about me stroking my beard constantly. No.
Your ring made me think of something as you were stroking your beautiful beard. That's what happened.
Okay, I see. Okay. Standard disclaimer. Back on track. If you haven't read this book or watched this movie, what is wrong with you? Please remember that all our podcasts are going to be full of spoilers. If you haven't read or watched and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the books or watch the movie. If you haven't done any of this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just love us so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up. I couldn't have said that so quickly as Dumbledore.
No, you couldn't have. He's quite rambling, and you'd have to add in some words like
nitwit blabardment and tweak.
Yep.
Yes. So what is it that you wished to tell me?
I went.
I'll stop.
Your beard. It's your beard. It's getting in the way of things here.
It is. I've pulled it down now, so now I have like a handsome chin beard. It's good.
Oh my goodness. I went to a Harry Potter burlesque show.
Yes. How was it?
It was really great. I also dressed up. You'd be so proud of me. I almost dressed as Dobby, like full garb Dobby.
Should have. What'd you do?
But I just did like kind of sexy Slytherin suit.
Nice.
So I had like my knee-high Slytherin socks, and I wore these like black booties with fishnets and a gray wool like school skirt, and then a button down. And a Slytherin tie. And then I had a Slytherin thing on my shoulder.
Nice.
And it was very cute. And then on Sunday, Kara got me as an early birthday present, even though it's not my birthday yet. She got me the Slytherin backpack from Vans.
Awesome. And you wanted it so much.
So bad. I'm so excited. I'm going out of town tomorrow and I'm going to take it as my carry-on.
That is fantastic. So I also went to a Harry Potter event this weekend in costume.
Yeah. How was it? Oh, you went in costume?
Yes, I went in costume to the symphony, and it was fantastic. I've not done any of these going to see Harry Potter while the orchestra plays the music thing before. So it was really cool to experience it. They did a great job with the music, and I got my picture taken a couple of times with strangers, which is always one of my most favorite things to do. And it was pretty fantastic riding the bus downtown as Trelawney.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Were there other people dressed up there?
Oh yeah, a ton of people were dressed up.
Okay, cool.
Student robes all over the place. I didn't see any other Trelawneys, so I win.
You win. You always win, don't worry, when it comes to Harry Potter.
I do love Harry Potter. So, I guess speaking of costumes, we need to go ahead and say, way to go, Ashley, for first guessing that I would be Dumbledore this time around. It's very good. She's a very clever girl, that Ashley. You may remember Ashley from many, 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 many episodes ago, the loneliest girl in the podcast episode. Ashley joined me for Would You Rather in that one. So that was good. She did a good job guessing that I would be Dumbledore. Okay. So,
do you have anything else? You want to go to background info?
I don't believe that I have anything else to share today. So we'll go on to background info.
Okay.
All right. This is from an interview with J.K. Rowling at the Edinburgh Book Festival on Sunday, August 15th, 2004. She says, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets had different titles. In fact, as everyone now knows, it was once called Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. But then I removed a whole storyline that did not work at all. It gave too much information too early, so I pulled it out and it became a major part, but not the only part of book six. There is no trace of that storyline left in Chamber of Secrets. People have been speculating that book six is a spinoff of book two, but it's not.
That was before it was released.
Yes. Chamber of Secrets would have been way too heavy if it were called the Half-Blood Prince, because she would have had to leave in some very significant stuff. Mm. But it found its home later in book six instead of book two.
Thank goodness. I mean, it got dark enough later, you know? It had to stay a little light, a little fluffy. I mean, not even fluffy. Fluffy!
No pun intended!
It had to stay fluffier in the beginning a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And it also allows for younger kids to read the first three, I think, or first two, first three, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so what were your initial thoughts about the book?
So I was so excited to read this one because it's the first one that I got to get at midnight. Me and Jacob and my mom got our copies and set to reading as soon as we got home from the midnight release party. But I want to talk more about that later. So let's go on to you. What are your initial thoughts?
I think after Goblet of Fire, like Goblet of Fire and beyond, I was just excited about everything. Everything Harry Potter, like all things, books, movies, everything. So I just don't think that my initial thoughts can spur beyond like, give me the book as soon as possible. I'm going to read it as fast as possible.
Yes.
Like that's where I was. So you got the book summary for us?
Of course. When Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince opens, the war against Voldemort has begun. The wizarding world has split down the middle. And as the casualties mount, the effects even spill over onto the Muggles. Dumbledore is away from Hogwarts for long periods, and the Order of the Phoenix has suffered grievous losses. And yet, as in all wars, life goes on. Harry, Ron, and Hermione, having passed their OWL level exams, start on their specialist NEWT courses. Six-year students learn to apparate, losing a few eyebrows in the process. Teenagers flirt and fight and fall in love. Harry becomes captain of the Gryffindor Quidditch team, while Draco Malfoy pursues his own dark ends. And classes are as fascinating and confounding as ever, as Harry receives some extraordinary help in potions from the mysterious Half-Blood Prince. Mm. More importantly, Dumbledore and Harry work together to uncover the full and complex story of a boy once named Tom Riddle, the boy who became Lord Voldemort. Like Harry, he was the son of one Muggle-born and one wizarding parent, raised unloved and a speaker of Parseltongue. But the similarities end there, as the teenaged Riddle became deeply interested in the dark objects known as Horcruxes, objects in which a wizard can hide part of his soul, if he dares splinter that soul through murder. Harry must use all the tools at his disposal to draw a final secret out of one of Riddle's teachers, the sly potions professor, Horace Slughorn. Finally, Harry and Dumbledore hold the key to the Dark Lord's weaknesses, until a shocking reversal exposes Dumbledore's own vulnerabilities and casts Harry's and Hogwarts' future in shadow.
That's a good one.
That was a very
long
good one.
Too.
That was from Scholastic.
Yeah.
What about the movie? How great is the movie one this time?
It's like a tenth of what you just read?
Yeah.
Okay. As Harry Potter begins his sixth year at Hogwarts, he discovers an old book marked as The Property of the Half-Blood Prince and begins to learn more about Lord Voldemort's dark past.
Oh.
Well, that sure makes you think that the book is Lord Voldemort's book, doesn't it?
Kind of does. Kind of does make you think that.
Yeah, that's good.
But you know what?
It's a good mislead.
Yeah, Voldemort is not the Half-Blood Prince, you guys.
No, he's not.
Definitely not.
Newsflash.
Spoiler alert!
What was your favorite part from the book?
Dumbledore's lessons and exploring all of the memories. I really love the first memory with the Gaunts and the trip to the orphanage and every other memory because, oh my gosh, I love all of the memories so much. I also really love the way that Harry and Dumbledore's relationship comes full circle. And this is a really long description of my favorite part. But this part, I don't know what it is, but it actually, like, makes me feel feelings in my heart. And that's not something that happens to me, as you guys know. Maybe
you
it
have
makes...
You have a soul.
I have a soul. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, in the beginning, on their way to Slughorn's, Dumbledore tells Harry to keep his wand at the ready in case they are attacked. However, I do not think you need worry about being attacked tonight. And Harry says, why not, sir? You are with me. So amazing, right? It sounds like Dumbledore's being really cocky, and he is. But it comes back later. So then, before Harry and Dumbledore leave the castle, when Harry gives the rest of his Felix potion to Ron and Hermione and Jenny, and they're like, wait, you need it. You're going after Horcruxes. So Harry says, I don't need it. I'll be with Dumbledore. So he's bringing it back there, right? But then, finally, after the cave and Dumbledore is weakened, Harry says, it's going to be all right, sir, over and over and over again. And he's more worried by Dumbledore's silence than he had been by his weakened voice. We're nearly there. I can apparate us both back. Don't worry. Dumbledore says, I am not worried, Harry. I am with you. Ah, I love it. I love it so much. It's a complete circle and it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's really pretty.
I made a pair of tights that has the text all over it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. There's so much more that I like from this one, but you should probably say yours unless you want me to talk for the entire show about what I like about Half-Blood Prince. Because
well, we can talk about the memories a little bit more if you want to. I really like the memories too. I actually really like the orphanage in the movie. I felt like it was done really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to remember what other ones there were. I loved, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Sorry. Okay, whatever. I like when Harry pretends to give Ron the poison.
No, he's poisoned.
I really love when Harry pretends to give Ron the potion for good luck, and that it's like such a placebo effect type situation. I thought that was such a good gimmick of Harry to think of and to put in the book. I don't know. And I loved Hermione being like, Harry, you shouldn't have done that. And Harry's like, yeah, like doing that. Like, I saw you.
Funded anyone lately?
Yeah. She's like, that was different. That was tryouts. This is a real game. And then not telling her and then telling her like afterwards, like I didn't use it. I just thought that was really clever. I liked that a lot. I also really love the book itself. So the potions book, that this whole book is named after the Half-Blood Prince, which we get introduced to because his potions book is in the cabinet because Harry, I mean, it's like all a whole setup, right? Like Harry didn't expect to take potions.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get an OWL high enough for Snape, but his OWL is high enough for Slughorn. And so he didn't get his book because he didn't think he could take potions. And because of that, like, do you know what I mean? It's like one thing after another had to line up for Harry to get his hands on this Half-Blood Prince potions book. Also, yeah. Why didn't Snape take that with him? Like, what was he thinking? But I just love it. I totally get how he's so fascinated with it, how there's all these notes in the like margins and mm-hmm. how he actually trusts it and it becomes kind of like a friend to him. I really relate to that, I think, and get it. I love writing notes in books, especially textbooks and stuff like that. But for obvious reasons, the idea of it in magic is amazing. And I love that it's Snape's, you know, I am definitely more against Snape than you are. Meaning like, I'm not as in love with Snape as you are.
I'm not in love with Snape, even though whatever. I kind of am. And I have a huge, giant poster of Snape. Anyone remembers from our old episodes, when I recorded in a different location and there was a giant Snape head behind me. Yeah. Still have that. Still hanging up. I'm just in a different area. But yeah.
I'm like more ambivalent about Snape, right? Like, I don't really like Snape. I kind of don't like him, actually. Like,
yeah,
more so than I like him, if I'm being real. And, but I do love that it's Snape's. I love the irony. I love the fact that Harry's bonding with him, and that, like, it shows me that if they had put their differences aside, and if Snape and James hadn't been such enemies, like, you don't know what would have happened, right? Like, James and mm-hmm. Snape could have been friends if things had been different. And it just, like, kind of shows this whole other side of, like, bullying and preconceived notions, and, you know, like, that whole idea of, like, putting ancestral hate on people, kind of.
Yeah.
You know? Like the Viking story we read.
Yeah. I do like, though, that Harry says that he's learned way more from the prince than he ever learned from Snape. Well, I mean, honestly, you kind of didn't pay too much attention when you were in Snape's classes because you were so focused on hating him. And of course, he was treating you like garbage, Harry, but still, you're still learning from Snape. So deal with it.
Yeah, I think he could have, like I said, I think it's funny. Like, I think he could have learned. I think they both could have had a better relationship, obviously, if there wasn't so much hate there. But after rereading that first book and seeing how Snape was the first one to treat him bad, like, he had a bad feeling about Snape, but Snape was immediately awful to him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just, like, constant reaction to one another.
Yeah.
Back and forth, you know? Where both are making it worse and worse, so.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
You don't want to talk about any more memories? What about the memory with Hepzibah Smith? Tom Riddle goes to her house and she's so infatuated by him because, you know, he's very charming, Tom Riddle. And, you know this. You love him.
I do.
You have a crush on Tom Riddle. But he goes to her house after he's working for Borgin and Burks and, like, he brings her flowers and she's so excited to share all of her treasures with him. And she brings out Hufflepuff's cup.
Mm.
And then 2 days later, she's dead. He didn't care about you. He doesn't care about anyone. He just wants that cup.
Now, do you think that he's sociopathic, like, in today's world? Is that, like, the idea?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know it's a book, but, like, right? Like, is that, like, where his character comes from? Is somebody who's, like, an extreme sociopath?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite part from the movie?
I really love the scenes with Slughorn. So I like the Slug Club scenes. I like the scene in the movie where Ginny walks in late from crying about having a fight with Dean, and Harry gets up and, like, nobody else gets up. And Hermione's, like, looking at him like, what are you doing, Harry? Like, and he, like, doesn't think it's obvious, but it's so obvious. Like,
so obvious.
I actually really love all of the Slughorn scenes with Harry throughout the movie. I think mm-hmm. that Slughorn was cast really well. I think that their interactions are really good. I don't love, you know, Harry's approach several times. I think that he could have approached Slughorn better several times. But I really enjoy their interactions. I also enjoy his and Dumbledore's interactions a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were a lot missing, I think we were saying, from the movie, which, you know, we can talk about later. But the ones that were there were still good.
Yeah. What else?
The beginning.
Anything else? Do you like Lav-Lav?
No.
You
no.
love Lav-Lav, no, no, don't no. you?
So I really like when Ron... So when Ron, after the Quidditch match in the movie, you know, whatever, does this thing and gets all... Everybody's cheering for him, and then Lav-Lav and him start making out in the common room, and Hermione's all upset, and Hermione and Harry go out, and then Lavender and Ron, like, come up in the hallway, and they're like, oh, this room's taken, and Lavender says that. And Ron's, like, kind of looking at them like, what's the matter? And Hermione stands up and sends her little charms birds after him. And then they, like, splat on the wall. I like that come to life. I'm not going to lie. I like that scene come to life. I think Ron's an idiot if he doesn't get it after that. Like, come yeah. on.
Well, Ron has the emotional range of a teaspoon.
That's
at
true.
At this point.
That's true.
Yes. I really like... I'm going to go back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about all your Slughorn things that you liked.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked when Slughorn was a chair.
Yes.
It was so good. He made such a cute little chair.
I know. That was a funny scene.
It was. And I also really liked when Harry took the Felix potion and is just, like, stumbling around everywhere. And, you know, he's in the right place at the right time. And he's very... silly in everything that he does because Felix is leading him. So I really like that too.
And I liked that it was reasonable. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, but it was. Like, it was totally plausible, but, like, also, like, borderline, but not, like, so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the series of events that happens, Aragog and the funeral, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I really like, though, when he encounters Slughorn, and especially in the movie. I mean, in the book, it was excellent, but they did a good job with this scene in the movie, too, and they had to change some things, obviously, to, you know, make it fit a little bit better. But I like that Slughorn is hanging out in the greenhouses, stealing things from the greenhouses, even though that's not how it was in the book. He wasn't outright burgling things. But then Harry comes up and startles him. And Slughorn says, "Harry!" And Harry says, "Sir!" Like, it's so funny. He did such a good job with that.
Yeah.
Although, during this movie, it's pretty rough because Daniel Radcliffe started drinking quite a bit. And he said that there are some scenes that he can't even watch because he's dead behind the eyes and he can see it. So he can see when he wasn't really participating. And he said that he never drank while he was at work, but he would come in to work drunk from the night before. But then he straightened up after that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
I don't know. But I just wonder if just the way that he's bumbling around in this, like, could this have been one of the scenes when he was drunk that he was filming and it just so happened to work out perfectly?
Probably.
So, anyway.
Hmm.
Let's not talk about that anymore. Let's talk about that I also love when Ron is love potion poisoned.
Yeah.
That was an excellent scene.
Romilda?
Yes, Romilda Vane. Romilda Vane.
Good.
Really I'm in love with her. Oh, I thought you were.
It's really good. It is really good.
Have you ever actually even met her? No. Will you introduce me? Although I do like in the book, I like it more in the book when they go to see Slughorn, and Slughorn calls Ron Rupert, which is perfect because that's his real name. And in the movie, I think he calls him Wimby. I don't know. It's a silly name.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wallaby.
What's the matter with Wimby?
Yeah.
Oh. So many good things.
There's a lot of people, so many good things about this.
I know. A lot of people don't like Half-Blood Prince, but I love it.
I even love it.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your least favorite part from the book?
I mean, I don't like Lavender and Ron at all. I find them obnoxious, both the book and the movie. Lav, Wan Wan. Get the out of here with that. I mean, I don't think there's that much else I like dislike from the book.
Yeah. Yeah, I think really the only thing that I don't really like is that everyone is doubting Harry about his Draco is up to something beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't dislike any of this book. I mean, I even liked Wan Wan and Lav Lav. I did.
You guys, she's more sappy than me.
I don't like that they are in a lovey-dovey relationship. I just like how ridiculous it is.
Okay. I'll give you that. Don't like it, but you can like it without being sappy.
I don't like that they're making out all over the place. I just think it's funny.
Yeah. What about from the movie? Because I feel like there's going to be a lot more here than the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, first and foremost, I despise the added scene where the Death Eaters come to the burrow and set it on fire.
Yeah, it's terrible. I agree.
It didn't make any sense. It was completely out of nowhere, and it definitely didn't look like there was any damage to the burrow when we were there in Deathly Hallows. And yeah, I get it, magic. But still, it was just such a stupid scene to add. I hate it. It doesn't make any sense.
A lot of people talked about that. Like, I read some stuff, and that was, like, a big thing for most people. Like, it doesn't add anything to it.
No, it adds absolutely nothing. The movie would have been 100% fine without it. There's no story added. There's nothing. It just took away from, you know, a memory with the Gaunts or any other interactions with Harry and Dumbledore. Any of that stuff could have been added in if they had taken out that stupid scene with the burrow on fire. It makes zero sense. Rage.
Against the machine.
Yes. And speaking of disliking stupidly added stuff, maybe you can answer this question for me. What are they referring to when Harry finally joins them at the feast with his bloody nose and they say, oh, he's covered in blood again. Why is it he's always covered in blood? At least it's his own this time. When has he ever been covered in blood? Ever in the entire series? Ever. Never. It makes zero sense.
He was definitely covered in blood in the chamber because he got bit by the basilisk and Jenny was there and that was her first year. So maybe she's just like an exaggerator and like the first year she saw him bleeding. So now it's like he's always covered in blood.
No.
I don't know. He didn't have any blood when he came back from the Triwizard tournament. Because didn't he get cut? He got cut.
Yeah, he got cut on his arm, but that's not covered in blood. He had robes on. That would have been covered up. Maybe his arm would have been a little bit bloody. But they didn't say, oh my god, Harry's back. He's got Cedric's dead body. And oh yeah, he's covered in blood. They didn't say that. None of that. Doesn't make any sense. If any listener has any reasonable excuse for this line in the movie, I will send you a gift if you could explain it to me. But I really don't think that you will be able to, because he's never been covered in blood. Maybe, I think sometimes, like, I'm trying to rationalize it in my head, and I think maybe this scene was just in the wrong place, and it's supposed to happen after Harry Septum Sempra's Draco in the bathroom, but nope. That doesn't make sense either. But he would have had blood on him at that point.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have answers. I gave the answers I have. I can't give you what you want, Amanda.
I'm really disappointed.
I'm sorry.
I know. There's so much more that I dislike. Shall I go on? I think.
Yeah. I mean, we both don't like a lot of the same things. So you can just, we would have identical things, I think.
So, I do not like Jenny and Harry's kiss in the Room of Requirement. I really wish that they would have had their kiss after the last Quidditch game, where Harry was in detention and Jenny played Seeker and she won and they won the cup. But no, they secretly kiss in the Room of Requirement and it was kind of gross. Disliked that.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. Also, didn't he kiss Cho in the Room of Requirement? Like, come on, get a new method.
Yeah, although there was mistletoe involved in that one. And Nargles.
And tears.
And tears.
Yeah.
How was that kiss? Wet.
Wet. Yeah.
Oh, do you know something else?
Hmm.
I really hate that in the beginning of the movie, Harry is hanging out at the train station instead of Dumbledore picking him up from the Dursleys' house. I think that's another one of my most favorite book moments ever. When Dumbledore, he's dealing with the Dursleys the entire time, being just terribly rude, and he's just so full of sass throughout the entire thing. When he knocks on the door, it's like 11 o'clock at night, right? And Uncle Vernon opens the door and he says, I don't mean to be rude, Uncle Vernon began, in a tone that threatened rudeness in every syllable. Yet, sadly, accidental rudeness occurs alarmingly often. Dumbledore finished the sentence gravely. Best to say nothing at all, my dear man. And then he goes on a little bit later and says, I would assume that you were going to offer me refreshment, but the evidence so far suggests that that would be optimistic to the point of foolishness.
Mm.
So then he conjures mead glasses and he like swoops them up on the sofa and pulls them close. And the Dursleys are just letting these glasses bounce off their heads and they're getting like progressively more violent the entire time. And Uncle Vernon shouts, will you get these ruddy things off us? Harry looked around. All three of the Dursleys were cowering with their arms over their heads as their glasses bounced up and down on their skulls, their contents flying everywhere. Oh, I'm so sorry, said Dumbledore politely as he raised his wand again. All three glasses vanished. But it would have been better manners to drink it, you know. I just love that he's, like, sassing them the entire time. But then before he leaves, he yells at them. And it's that is also fantastic.
So it's funny because it's a really good scene and I love it. But I also don't mind the train scene. I like that he's like, you've been reckless this summer, Harry. I like riding the trains. They help me think. They help clear my mind. And that girl, who's Harry Potter? Like, how did she not notice that there was moving pictures on his picture on his newspaper? I don't understand.
It was stupid.
I understand. That was a little silly, but I did like that. I just want more Tom Riddle. Just more memories of Tom Riddle, please. Just more. I just want more.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the movie. Just more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they cut it all out as a movie.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff they could have added in, obviously, and taken out. I don't know. Always going to have complaints.
Always.
When we go book to movie, it's just always going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Who was your favorite character?
I really like Slughorn, for sure. But I also like Dumbledore. I finally like Dumbledore, but only in the book, not the movie. There's so much more to their relationship in the book, Harry and Dumbledore, that you know, you don't get to see in the movie.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
Yeah. But I also like Slughorn.
Yeah, so. Slughorn is definitely my favorite here. He's like, when people talk about how awful Slytherin is, I'm always like, then they're like, you can't even name one good one. I'm like, Slughorn! Slughorn! Slughorn's good! He fought. He fights!
Yeah.
I mean, that's not yet, but he will! I also really like Ginny. I know you don't, and that's okay, but I do.
Book Ginny or movie Ginny?
Movie Ginny.
No! I was gonna let you go if you had said book Ginny.
I like both of them.
I like book Ginny just fine.
I like both of them. I like in the movie how she like helps. I feel like she's like strong for Harry sometimes.
So much more in the book though.
Okay, fine. Book Ginny. Doesn't matter. They're both Ginny Weasley. Also, can we talk about Draco Malfoy? Because I feel like this book is his shining book, kind of. I feel like this book is his turning point. I feel like he's a little redeemable here. I feel like you see the pressure that's put on him, and you see he's like a little baby Death Eater in training, and like he doesn't I don't think he gets it. Like, you know what I mean? I think he realizes he's in over his head. He mm-hmm. bit off more than he can chew, and then when he's confronted with that moment of killing Dumbledore, like he can't do it.
No. Yeah, he was definitely lowering his wand. He was not going to kill Dumbledore. But, I mean, Voldemort was threatening to kill him. If he didn't go through with this, then that's it. He would have been dead.
So I get it. That's what I'm saying, though. I think that this shows, like, Draco's humanity a bit.
He also has a couple of redeeming moments in Deathly Hallows as well, but
yeah.
We'll get to that.
But this is like where we first see it. I feel like before this, we always hate Draco, no matter what. Well, you know, yeah.
Not Slytherins.
Most people don't like him.
Yeah, I love that Moaning Myrtle makes an appearance, and she's got a crush on Draco because he's having emotions in the bathroom. He was crying, and she was in there talking to him and trying to talk to him, trying to make him feel better. But no, he's sorry, Moaning Myrtle. Draco Malfoy is not for you.
No. Would you date Draco?
I don't know.
That was an interesting face.
It's probably the old man makeup that made it even better. I don't know if I would or not.
He's too blonde for me.
Well, obviously.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. He is quite full of himself, which I don't like. So I don't know if I would date him or not. I don't know who I would date from Hogwarts. I think we need to hang on to that question and come back to it in our wrap-up episode.
A wrap-up episode?
I think that would be great.
Yeah, that's
maybe we can bring back Mary Fuck Kill.
Yeah. Or Do Mary Ditch. I don't know. There's like dump. A more do ditch? Dump. No, ditches.
Do date ditch.
Do date dump. Yeah, something like
I
that.
I don't remember.
But it could be, it's a little more PG.
Yeah. We only played that in 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Let's get back on track here. What was your favorite memory related to Half-Blood Prince. Book or movie, doesn't matter.
We haven't talked about timeline yet, but the book came out in 2005 in the summer, July 16th. Shout out my granddad's birthday, which is right after I graduated from high school. So I definitely remember going to the midnight release of this for the book, and I drove myself there this time because I drove. And I know I read the book real quick, so I think I read it in 2 days. Like, and this is why I love summer releases back when I was that young, because you could just read them all. Like, I think I read that night until 5 a.m. and just slept the next day. Like, you know, you can do whatever you want in the summer that way. Especially if you're reading, your parents aren't going to be like, what are you doing? They're not going to care. You're home. Safe, you know? And then the movie came out in 2009, July 15th, 2009, literally almost 4 years to the day, right after I graduated from college. This is like one of the first ones that I vividly remember going to. I didn't dress up, but, and this isn't like a pleasant memory necessarily, but I went with my then boyfriend, Brian, and he was not being a good sport about seeing it. He was like, how long is this? And I like had a hard time standing up to him sometimes. And it was like one of the first times I stood up to him and I looked at him and was just like, listen, like, if you don't want to be here, don't ruin my experience. Cause I love Harry Potter. And like, if you care about me, like, you'll watch this and shut up and not complain. And like, if you can't do that, I need you to leave. And he was like, no, no. He was like, okay, I'll be quiet. And I was like, I'm serious. Don't complain the rest of the movie. And he didn't. I was like, I'm not listening to you complain every 20 minutes about how long this is or how ridiculous this is. If you don't want to be here, go. Like, I'd rather watch this movie alone than with somebody complaining. This is a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I was like so excited that he went and he was like trying to be a good boyfriend. And I was like, listen, if you're trying to be a good boyfriend and come to the movies with me, like, then put a smile on and act like you want to be here for me. Don't ruin it. Like, what are you doing? Awful. He's a terrible boyfriend anyways. Terrible.
I'm sorry.
He's like married with kids, so it's fine.
Okay.
So yeah, what was yours?
Well, this was my first midnight book release. And I'm pretty sure it's the first time that I cosplayed in public. Dressed up as Tonks. Yeah. And Jacob went. It was, like you said, July 16th, 2005. And Jacob and I had been dating all of like 3 months at this point. But he dressed up in costume with me, and
there's a good sport.
Yes, dressed up in costume with me. My mom went too. So I was Tonks, and Jacob was Draco, and my mom was Trelawney. And she sat at a table and read Fortunes for Strangers that night, and it was so much fun.
That's amazing.
It was fantastic. I think that, like, she just sat down in a chair at a table just for a moment because, you know, we were there ridiculously early and, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, but she just sat down and then someone came up and they were like, can you tell my fortune? And she's like, of course. She just sat down and made stuff up. It was so fantastic.
I can't believe that. So when you say that it was your first time you cosplayed in public.
But this is my first time dressing up in costume and going out in public that wasn't Halloween or a costume party.
Yeah.
And I've never stopped.
All right. Is there anything you remembered or realized after rereading?
So, yes, I actually really did realize something this time.
Okay.
In the book, when Snape is fleeing and Harry is chasing him and trying to hit him with spells, but Snape keeps knocking him back. And, you know, he's really still teaching him at this point that he needs to use nonverbal spells and he needs to close his mind. He's never going to succeed. Snape doesn't actually stop Harry until Harry tries to use Levacorpus on him. And in the movie, it's Sectum Sempra that makes him stop and say, you dare use my own spells against me. But in the book, it's Levacorpus, because that's the one in Order of the Phoenix that James uses against him in the chapter Snape's Worst Memory. He could not have Harry doing the same exact thing that James did to embarrass him so badly. And yes, it does say in the book, you'd turn my inventions on me like your filthy father. But I just didn't really realize until this last reread that that it has to be the exact moment he was talking about. It makes sense in the movie, Sectum Sempra, like he would stop him from using Sectum Sempra, but Sectum Sempra is dangerous.
But in the book, it's like one removed, right? Do we know about that that chapter is in this book or it's in
Snape's worst memory is in Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, so in the movie, they couldn't really, like, reference the movie before. Movies don't like to do that as much. Like, small little things like that.
And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense that Harry is so angry at this point with Snape killing Dumbledore that he would use Levacorpus and just throw Snape up into the air.
No, yeah, he's trying to, like, cause harm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's just trying to stop him from leaving in the book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah.
In the movie, he's very, very angry.
Yeah. And I think in the book, he's just trying anything that he can possibly think of to get him to stop.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I didn't realize it.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that.
Like, I was expecting, you know, because of course I listen, we all know this, that when he starts Sectum Sempra, I was just ready for Snape to turn around and stop him, but he just keeps on going, you know, knocks him back. But then, like, he doesn't even get the word out. He just starts, like, leva, and he's like, no. How dare you? You do not use that spell against me.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
Yeah.
I love the end of this book. I just really do. I mean, I don't like that Dumbledore died, but I like the ending. I kind of do, though. I kind of do. I feel like it was Harry's turn. You know, like, you're talking about that whole full circle thing. And, like, I really feel like that was, like, the signifying moment of, like, you're the safe one now, Harry. And, like, my time is over. Like, he knew it. He knew it.
Yeah, I mean, he had been planning the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously.
Been planning to save Draco. Kill himself, save Snape, because if Draco had done what he was supposed to do, or if he didn't, and then Snape also didn't kill Dumbledore, then Snape would have died because of the unbreakable vow, and Voldemort would have killed Draco. So, I mean, Dumbledore is sacrificing himself, really, for the greater good.
Well, and he knew he was going to probably die because of his arm, his hand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the moments here are really interesting for leading up to the next book, right? Like... Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because when people watch the movie that haven't read the book, they don't catch all of that. They don't catch the scene here and how it relates to the wand, the disarming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they explain it at the end, but as it's going on, I don't know. Sometimes I don't like that with films. Like, you don't get it till it's over. And then you're like, well, now I got to rewatch it knowing what's happening so I can really pay attention and understand it. So otherwise, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
So that's important. Those of you following along who haven't happened to watch or read the last one, which maybe Claire, because I know she was reading it with us, but.
No, Claire's finished.
Okay, good. I was going to say it's, yeah. Yes. No, Claire, no.
I know. We're
our listener from the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Is it time?
Is it time? Is it time?
It's time. Would you rather?
Hey, what's going on in here?
Ooh, another voice.
Another voice. Another voice that is right next to me. How special.
That's so exciting.
It is very exciting. I roped Jacob in to playing Would You Rather with us. You going to say hi?
For your favorite book.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Who is Jacob?
I think everyone knows who Jacob is by now. I talk about him in almost every episode.
Well, what if this is the first one they listen to?
That's true. Jacob is my husband.
Hello. I rarely participate in anything, so this is a rare treat.
It really is. It makes me feel very special.
All right. You want to just get right into it?
Yeah, let's start. So the question that we asked you guys on Facebook and Instagram is, would you rather have Slughorn or Snape as your potions professor? On Facebook, 59% of you said Slughorn and 41% said Snape.
And on Instagram, 53% said Slughorn and 47% said Snape.
We had some pretty interesting comments this time. I was very pleased. Arabelle said, on the one hand, you know exactly where you stand with Snape, but he bullies relentlessly for no other reason than because he can. Yeah, his whole backstory, sure. He was still a terrorizing asshole. On the other hand, Slughorn created a weird power struggle competition to win his favor. It isn't exactly encouraging, either. He didn't really care about the students as individuals, just on what they could kick back for himself. Slughorn wins by less than a unicorn hair. I am terrible at testing, and with Sluggy, I might stand a chance at a passing grade.
That was a really well thought out answer.
I like her measurement. Less than a unicorn hair.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's very good.
All right, so Liz said, to be honest, I would go with Slughorn and try to get in the Slug Club just to get some of that dope ice cream. I am on board with that answer.
I think that's a more positive way to spin Slughorn's power struggle that she mentioned before. So I didn't see it as such a negative thing. And yeah, he is kind of out for himself and he kind of gets sick pleasure out of that. But I don't know. Seems kind of fun.
Ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry said Snape because he's more knowledgeable and a harder teacher. Plus, we know he's creative enough to have made the potions recipes better. Half-Blood Prince's book with Harry doing excellent work and creating new potions. We don't know if Slughorn has that capability. I get vibes that Slughorn is lazy, too. Slughorn, if he likes you, I feel would let you slide and give you a passing grade.
Claire said, Slughorn, I might learn something without the potions master victimizing me, ridiculing classmates, or showing preferential treatment to Slytherins. What I'm saying is, Snape is a dick. Here, here, Claire. Here, here.
Come on.
So I don't think anyone could argue that Snape isn't a dick.
Right.
He's sort of a lovable dick, and we appreciate that aspect about him. But you got to think, as a student, I wouldn't enjoy his class. I feel like Snape doesn't really take any joy in his work, and that negativity just kind of permeates around everything he does.
So you're going to go with
Slughorn? Oh, I'm going with Slughorn, if that's not obvious by now. yeah, I feel like Slughorn, he's just more jovial. He's fun. He doesn't take himself as seriously. And like one of your listeners said here, you'd probably have a chance at actually passing the class, even without being an ace at potions.
That's true.
I
said that I would rather have Snape as a teacher, though, because I like those kind of teachers, the ones that aren't so frilly and let you do whatever you want to do. Snape expects something from you. Even though he's terrible. But I'm a Slytherin, so it's okay. He would be nice to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. What house is Jacob?
I mean, I guess I would be a Slytherin, too, just because I'm self-serving and cunning, I like to think.
You're ambitious.
Yeah, well. I've got ambition.
I was really expecting you to say Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw? Maybe at a different time in my life I would have said that, but...
Yeah.
You can be a Slytherclaw. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Slytherclaw.
I'm glad you finally joined me.
Aww.
Okay. Slytherins. So what did you say?
I definitely said Slughorn as well. I think... I don't like teachers who... or leaders who rule by fear. And I feel like Snape does that. Like, he teaches out of fear and, like, instills fear in his students. And I just personally don't learn well in that type of environment. So... I don't think I would slack off in Slughorn's class. That's the funny thing. I think that even though he has that option and people could see that about him, I'd be like Hermione, who wouldn't slack off at all, but would still make it into the Slug Club, blah, 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 because I am, like, a good student.
So do you think there's anything to every Potions Master being a Slytherin? Or is it just coincidence?
Might be coincidence.
I mean, the rooms are in the dungeons, and, like, okay. The Slytherin common room is in... dungeons, kind of, sort of, right?
Yeah, the Slytherin common room is under the lake.
Right.
But I don't know if location really has anything to do with it.
Maybe Slytherins are just more inclined to making poisons.
Maybe.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yes.
All right. Would you rather, this is awful, date Lavender or Cormac, taking, I think, sexuality out of the picture, right?
Of course.
Like,
I think I probably would have strangled Lavender because she's really gushy and lovey-dovey. I think I would have strangled her.
Oh, she was the one that got with Ron. I was just thinking, yeah. I haven't read this book in a decade. Oh, yeah.
But you have watched the movie.
I have watched the movie. Yeah, Lavender was insufferable. And Cormac was, you know, kind of a douche, but I don't know. He had some charm about him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's really good at playing Quidditch, mm-hmm. apparently.
Excellent reflexes.
Yeah, except for in the book, he was really terrible when he played Quidditch because he wanted to take over And he was really bossy, and he ended up hitting Harry with a beater's bat that he stole from one of the beaters, and he cracked Harry's skull.
And as a Slytherin, I would appreciate that.
Yes, okay.
Fair. I would say Cormac as well. I would take a braggadocious asshole over a love crazy.
The baby talk.
Oh, God, can't handle it.
The baby talk is really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Would you rather touch the cursed necklace or drink poisoned mead? Amber, why don't you go first this time?
I mean, for obvious reasons, I would rather touch the cursed necklace. I feel like that's kind of a cop-out, but that's the obvious choice for me.
So the cursed necklace didn't actually kill anyone, right?
Well, it had killed 19 people before that, but she barely touched it with the very, like, there was a hole in her glove, and she barely even grazed it. But if she had, like, grabbed it with her hand, she would have died.
Yeah.
And am I in a situation where there's someone nearby who can save me? I'm just going to go through, like, if I drink the mead, I'll start frothing and having a seizure, but...
Yeah, let's say it's the same as in the books.
Okay.
There are people around who will save you.
I'm going to go with the poison mead just because it seemed like you would have a quick recovery if you had a Bezoar.
Yeah. Well, Ron was in the hospital wing for a while.
Oh, was? Well, again, I'm going for the movie. He seemed like he got up pretty quick.
That's true.
What do you say?
I guess I'm going to go with the poison mead as well because Katie was in St. Mungo's for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just a brief touch.
But that's not fair. I can't drink.
Could meet Gilderoy Lockhart.
That's true.
I'm going to change my answer.
Mm. So you're gonna touch the cursed necklace?
I'm going to put that necklace on.
So you can hang out with Gilderoy?
Yeah. Oh, he's my favorite professor.
That's true.
Is he? No, he's not.
I loved him. The second movie was the first one I ever saw, so it has a special place in my heart.
That's really
Gilderoy is
funny.
Really fantastic.
He's probably the character I most identify with.
No, that is not true.
No, I'm all show, no substance, just like Gilderoy.
You have substance.
Not much.
Some. More than Gilderoy. Would you obliviate someone?
If I had to.
That's a real good Slytherin
answer. Yeah, I am a Slytherin.
That's a real good Slytherin answer. Right, that would have changed. I like that. I approve of that.
That's fantastic.
He had a great cape.
He wore several fantastic bright colors, mm-hmm. and you do like to wear bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
You are blonde.
And you're mm-hmm. blonde. His favorite color is lilac. And you also like purple.
I do.
Are you Gilderoy Lockhart?
I might be.
Have you ever dressed as him?
He was a Gryffindor, wasn't he?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure of his house.
Okay.
I need to research that.
I don't think so. I feel like... What class would you put him in? Yeah, I think he was. That's what I was going to say.
Well, clearly we need to research this.
But he's not loyal to anyone. Okay, I'm just thinking about the bad aspects. I think of Hufflepuff and go, okay, yeah.
Ravenclaw.
He was Ravenclaw?
He was Ravenclaw? Oh, man.
According to the Pottermore website. All right. Well.
He is rather gifted with memory charms.
You should dress up as him sometime. I feel like that would be fantastic.
Yeah. I've kind of got the hair right now. I've grown it out a little bit.
You do?
Yeah. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather get splinched trying to apparate or get hit by Sectum Sempra?
Getting splinched seemed very painful
mm-hmm.
and grotesque.
Yeah.
And Snape was able to heal Draco fairly quickly, it seemed.
That's
true.
From the
Sectum Sempra.
Mm-hmm.
But dark magic does leave a mark, so I don't know.
Yeah, and if we think about Sectum Sempra from Deathly Hallows... George got his ear cursed off, and they couldn't do anything about it. Because...
Oh, was that the spell? I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I didn't know that either.
Huh. Maybe I would take my chances getting splinched then.
Well, and they were fixed pretty quickly. So one of the ones that I just read, somebody got splinched, and they got jiffied up in a day.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, and I guess we are talking about Half-Blood Prince here and not Deathly Hallows, because when Ron gets splinched in Deathly Hallows, it's rough. Maybe we need to ask this question again next time. I think in this situation, though, I would also... Ooh. Yeah, I guess I would get splinched,
just
too.
Just a little splinched.
Just a little splinched.
Yeah. Your elbow.
I will miss half my eyebrow.
Yeah, I'll come back.
I'm gonna get hit with second Sembra.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's just no way. I'm not getting splinched.
Yeah, the first girl who apparated successfully in their lessons left her leg behind. I can't remember who it was. Susan Bones, maybe?
But it grew back, right?
Well, they fixed it.
Okay.
Her leg didn't grow back.
No, they like reattached it. But I would be terrified. I gotta say, I'd have like PTSD. I would never operate again. I'd be so terrified of splinching again based on the pain. Like, I'm terrified of dislocating my knee again after dislocating it and having so much pain. I can't imagine, you know? I don't know. I think it would just be too traumatic for me in my head.
And what causes getting splinched? Is it just losing focus when you're operating, or?
Yes.
Okay.
They have the 3 Ds, and I'm really upset, Amber, that I didn't talk about the 3 Ds earlier. Well, I don't remember what they are.
Okay.
It's determination, deliberation, and something else. And that's the 3 main things you have to focus on when you're apparating. But Hermione's the only one who knew all 3 of them all the time. And so anytime Ron or Harry were talking about it, they would come up with other D words, and it was fantastic.
Destination is one of them.
Destination, determination, deliberation.
Yes, it is. The 3 Ds.
Yes. And Ron would...
One must be completely determined to reach one's destination and move without haste, but with deliberation.
Yes. And then Ron said terrible things that were really funny and weren't accurate at all. Anyway. Okay. Last question. Would you rather drink the Horcrux potion or have a cursed hand that is slowly killing you?
I feel like the answer's obvious here.
Hey, I know, me too. Me too.
I mean, the Horcrux potion is a bad night, but the hand's going to kill you eventually, right?
Yeah.
See, I was thinking that you're going to die either way. And I was like, I mean, I'm going to die slowly, not quickly. Come on.
Well, I just assumed that Dumbledore would have been okay if, but I don't want to spoil this if people haven't read the book.
You can spoil it. We spoil
things. Yeah, we're good.
Oh, okay. But, you know, had Snape not killed Dumbledore, would he have just been able to sleep it off, or do you think that...
No, he was dying.
I think he was going to die.
No, he was dying from the cursed, from his cursed ring.
So do you think that if he didn't have the cursed hand, that the potion would have killed him, or he would have recovered?
It's hard to say. I think that he could have recovered from the potion. Mm-hmm. However, you know, if Harry wasn't there with him in the cave...
He wouldn't have made it.
No,
I don't think he would have made it because he would have, you know, he desperately wanted water, right? Mm-hmm. And the only water available was the lake that was full of Inferi. So if he had been wounded and weakened and by himself and went toward the lake to get water, he might have been dragged down by Inferi. Although I don't think Dumbledore would have succumbed to that. I think he would have been able to fight back. He's a very powerful wizard. I think he would have been okay.
Now, me, on the other hand, I probably would not have survived that situation.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have either.
Maybe I'll go with the hand.
You're going to curse your hand?
If I have to. You could probably chop it off, right?
I mean, you could. You could get a hook.
Yeah, you know, even better.
Or you could get a silver hand.
Oh, yeah. We saw Wormtail had one. It was fine.
Yeah.
That one flaw, but...
That one flaw of strangling himself, but it's fine. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Yeah, I'll go with cursed hand too. Let's just all have cursed hands.
Cursed hands? All right.
I mean, I feel like I really did think you were going to die in all those situations. That's why I said hand. I feel like if you had the right person with you, you could get away with the Horcrux potion.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'd want to drink it, man. I get so thirsty. I don't do well with that.
It looked like it was an ordeal too.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
It looked awful. He regressed into childhood. Dumbledore regressed to, like, a baby child. That's what I felt watching it. I was like, he's, like, regressed to, like, he's like, no more.
I almost think that that's just Michael Gambon.
He didn't know he was filming that.
He didn't know. But still, he relived his worst memories and, you know, was suffering through it as if it was really happening.
So had Gilderoy cast Obliviate on him beforehand, do you think it would have been as effective?
I think those memories would have resurfaced.
Resurfaced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Voldemort is a much more powerful wizard than Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And dark magic is much more, like, much stronger, I feel like, in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So I had mentioned the famous spoiler from this book earlier. Do you guys, by any chance, discuss how this was one of the big moments in early spoiler history? I feel like the release of this book, the midnight release, was one of the first times that people across the country and the world were kind of afraid of finding out what happens. And there was the whole famous thing of people driving by and saying, Snape kills Dumbledore. Mm. I feel like that may have been the birth of the spoiler alert.
It could be.
In our culture. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. But it's the first time I remember it being a big thing.
Yeah.
Thing. And I read it so fast, there was no spoiling it for me. So
I'm yeah, sure we read you guys it did within, too. Like, what, 2 days, I think?
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember on Facebook and the news, people going, I guess because it had leaked or something. So people would go to the midnight releases and just tell everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's awful.
Yeah, so ever since then, it's like, well, go on media blackout until you finish this book or you watch this movie.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, I can't remember exactly, but this might be the first one, or maybe it was Order of the Phoenix.
Sorry.
I read it when I was doing background info, but it might have been, it might even have been Goblet of Fire. I can't remember when I read it. That they were released simultaneously, like in the US and the UK.
Oh, worldwide?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Well, yeah.
English-speaking nations?
Yeah.
Definitely the first time that I lined up at midnight to get a book.
Me too. And we were in costume.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that Mom was there too and she was Trelawney? And she was reading fortunes?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It was really great.
It was the first time that I really remembered Harry Potter being a big thing. I mean, I watched the movies, but I wasn't really aware of the books until around this time. Probably because I met you and you had read them, but mm-hmm. It's not something that was ever part of my childhood.
No, me neither. You weren't that far behind me. I started reading them after senior year of high school.
This is so the first time I win. First time. I feel like you read everything before me. But it wasn't actually... Yeah, it was. I was before. I was going to say.
You were a child.
I know, I was. I was like 12.
She got to grow up with Harry.
Yeah, I think, and that's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were a year ahead of it.
At 12, the first three were already out, though. The third one had just come out.
Okay.
So I didn't get it right from the beginning.
I do have a very distinct memory in junior high of one of my friends referencing Harry Potter. I had no idea what he was talking about. I just ignored it.
I really don't remember anyone that I ever spent any time with in high school reading or talking about Harry Potter until Austin did. Mm. And that was after we graduated. And he was just sitting in my room reading a book. And I'm like, what are you reading? What is this? What is happening? I've never seen you read before. But then I was hooked after that.
Yeah. It's funny that you can remember that so well. Like when we talked about remembering how we got into it, I remember the first time I heard about it. Wow. And I'm sure we have successfully converted several people, including Jacob here, between the two of us.
Oh, yes. I'm sure we have. And Claire. Let's not forget about Claire.
Hey, Claire! See, we're doing our duty here. I got James and Eric in the last year.
Excellent. Well, that's it. That's all of our questions.
All right.
Do you have anything that you would like to add? Anything that you would like to share, Jacob?
Well, I didn't really have any comments prepared, but thank you guys for letting me come on your show, discuss Harry Potter with you. And if you'd like to learn more about spoiler culture, come join me on my podcast. maybe someday.
Maybe someday. I appreciate you.
Of course.
All right. So what are the life lessons you took from this book?
Okay. So we're doing quotes every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
My quote this time actually also happened in Sorcerer's Stone. So this is more a callback to Sorcerer's Stone than it is. But it did happen in this book too.
Hmm.
Anyway, so Harry is thinking, this is after Dumbledore's funeral. And he's remembering something that Dumbledore said. It is important, Dumbledore said, to fight and fight again and keep fighting. For only then could evil be kept at bay, though never quite eradicated. And this is when Harry realizes that no matter what, he's going to fight Voldemort. He's going to fight for his parents. He's going to fight for his friends. he's going to keep fighting no matter what. And there had been an argument about the prophecy and, like, if he had never heard the prophecy, would he even still be here? Would he even keep fighting? And of course he would, because he wants to fight for his family and his friends. So this is just him thinking about it again, that Dumbledore told him to fight and fight and fight and keep fighting. Don't ever stop.
It's a good reminder before the next book.
Yes, definitely. It definitely is. So what's yours? Do you have a quote too? There's so many good quotes.
There are a lot. There's a lot of funny ones too that aren't life lessons, but
yeah.
So I have like a serious one, and then I have kind of like a good one, like a not like an uplifting one. So okay. I'll give you the serious one first.
Okay.
Dumbledore says, "People find it far easier to forgive others for being wrong than being right."
That's so true.
Like, so deep when you let it sink in. Like, it's easier to forgive someone for being wrong because it means that you're right than for them being right because it means you're wrong. And it takes, like, I think behind this is it takes so much more humility to say, and not just say you're right, but, like, forgive them for it, you know? Yeah.
This is in reference to Percy, right? Because yeah, Ron keeps wanting to go back and punch Percy in the face.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to punch Percy in the face, though. Come on. Percy deserves a face punch.
Yeah. Okay. So then the other one, the uplifting one, is let us step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. I love that. Like, the flighty temptress adventure.
Yes.
I mean, flighty temptress adventure. It's okay, Dumbledore. Death was your next adventure.
Yes. To the well-organized mind.
Yes.
But the next great adventure.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What are your final thoughts?
Oh goodness. More. I want more. More. One more is not enough. 1,000 is too many. No. Yeah. It's actually, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm the same. Like, I don't want this summer to end. But you know, now would be a good time to mention our wrap up episode. We're going to discuss the entire series when we're finished with Deathly Hallows the next week. We're going to go back and discuss everything. Our favorite parts, stuff that we've left out, silly stuff. We're going to go back and we're going to wrap the whole thing up.
We're going to talk about who we'd like to date the most.
Yes, we're going to talk about who we would like to date. Bring back that very first episode game that we played.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little friendlier version of it. If anyone has listened to the Raven Boys, which yikes if you listen to the Raven Boys.
Oh,
yikes.
Man.
So bad.
It's okay. Everybody has their beginnings.
Yes. So we would also like to answer any questions that you may have. Mm-hmm. So if you have anything you'd like to ask us about Harry Potter or any thoughts that you've had while we're discussing it and you think, oh my gosh, I really want to know what Amanda and Amber think about this, email us. Email us your questions at fictionalhangover@gmail.com or message us on any of our social media platforms. We check them all the time. So send us a message and let us know. Ask us anything about Harry Potter, and I can almost guarantee you that we will have an answer for you.
Anything?
About Harry Potter. Or is that going to go too far? Is someone going to ask us something terrible?
I don't know. I just was clarifying.
Oh my God. Okay. That is it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amber.
Join us next time as we end kind of the summer of Harry Potter with our discussion on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Hmm.
Oh, if you have any idea who I'm going to be for Deathly Hallows, let us know. Also, be sure to look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangove, no ER. Also, special shout out to Liz Emerson for her music. You can find her on Facebook at Liz Emerson or on Patreon. Thanks for listening.